Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Yeah.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hello, I'm John. So I live in Istanbul at the moment. Before this, I was living in Izmir, and before that, I was in Copenhagen. So I started my career as a chef, actually. I was a pastry chef. And then in 2020, I jumped into entrepreneurship and we started a house business with an investor. I was in still school at the moment, actually, studying culinary arts. And we grew really fast. Like in third year, we had a big manufacturing area. We had like a team of eight, and we raised like more than $1 million, and it was going great. And then I had my Steve Jobs moment, so the board fired me and then I lost my everything. So I wanted to do something else, like somewhere, like maybe in the UK. I was actually thinking about the US too, maybe starting another SaaS business. And then I just landed on UK, actually. Yeah, and right now we are about to launch a SaaS company. It's called Cornidor, and it's Eastern Mediterranean pantry. We are going to start with sauces, but then we're going to launch like meals, ready-to-eat meals, and then maybe spice kits, spices, everything now and then. Yeah.
Awesome. So are you thinking about or planning on relocating to the UK, or are you going to run this UK brand from Turkey?
For the first year, probably I'm going to do it remote, because I was planning to, like, yeah, we are going to raise money in a few months, probably, because everything almost ready. And then I was planning to move to UK as soon as possible. But then I saw, like, I can actually spend that money on marketing, like maybe influencer marketing, maybe like just performance marketing. And perhaps this is going to be a better for the brand also. So I just hired another co-founder in the UK to be my like everyday CEO, to like run the like legal business. And then, yeah, that's it for now. Yeah.
So you're saying that, like, essentially you'd rather, you know, because it's like, I guess cost of living is more expensive in the UK, that you would
that's
much
true.
Rather use that money and save it and live in Turkey and use that money for marketing.
Yeah, I just can get a tourist visa and go back and forth. So that's easier. Yeah.
Awesome. Can you just tell me more about this company? I mean, who an ideal customer is for you?
For me, for now, we wanted to start in the UK because there are lots of Middle Eastern and Mediterranean people over there. And because of the politics in the last 5 years in Turkey, there are already almost like a million Turkish people in the just UK, and 500,000 of them in just London right now. And that's why we have really good network over there and really like established community, like Turkish people, Iranian people, like just Middle Eastern people. So with the sales line, we're going to start with Gen Zs like me. I'm 25 years old. And then I have a good friend over there. We were writing on food politics in a magazine in Turkey. So he is right now working in National Geographic Food. So he has a good community, like good network of foodies and influencers like this. And perhaps our go-to-market will be like on Middle Eastern, Gen Z and millennial people. And after this, perhaps we'll just expand our customer base also. Yeah.
For sure. But is your go-to-market plan to go and be more of a D2C company, or you focus more on getting into retail? Like, what is your core focus in 2024?
Yeah. In the first 6 months, probably we're going to just D2C, and also like Amazon is obvious. And then perhaps with small retailers before we go big, because when you compare it to US market to UK market, it's actually a bit easier to get into retail, because like in the US market, there are lots of brokers and this and that. In the UK, you can just talk directly to a retailer, like perhaps like via arrange me, or you can just email them. And it's easier because also the UK market is still like, it's not full of new battery products. It's there are either big companies like Nestle, Heinz, or et cetera, and also private label. And that's it. There are not that much emerging brands over there.
For sure, yeah. Like in America, if you want to get into retail, many of these retailers won't even talk to you if you're not using a distributor. I mean, it's insane.
That's true, yeah. That's why there are not like KeHE or UNFI like in the UK. Yeah.
For sure. So in terms of the product, right, like you mentioned, obviously, like your target, but is it like, I guess, how are you going to set yourself apart in a competitive space, even though it is sort of, you're saying that it's like a new category, but even, you know, you obviously have competition. So what does that look like for you?
That's true. So at first I wanted to like, when like, let's talk about retail shelves. At first I was thinking about like just getting into retail in the sauce category, sauce aisle. But then like, thanks to my friends and our like research team, I mean, I'm saying team just with two people of two at the moment. And we saw a really big gap in the ethnic aisle, actually. That's why we quickly changed all the strategy, and we are changing the labels also. And we're gonna like, the retailers want us to make a new item, like better for you item in the ethnic aisle, because it's just full of like bad ingredient, bad looking products over there. So they are in need of innovation in the ethnic aisle. So my first strategy is to disrupt, maybe it's just a buzzword, I know, but disrupt the ethnic aisle. Not like, do you know Amsom in the US? They're a sales company. They just launched a noodle, actually. And then, for example, their strategy is to get out of the ethnic aisle because they think it's kind of an alien aisle for them, because it's alienates, because it's kind of xenophobic. But for me, it's not actually, because the foodies go to ethnic aisle to find new products. And if they go and find the new and innovative products, that's a win for me. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's, you know, as you said, right, you have to know who your demo is, your ideal customer is, all those things.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, your strategy specifically, like, are you planning on offering subscriptions, or like, how do you really like, are going to, like, I guess, how are you planning on measuring the lifetime value of your customers?
That's a good question, and hard question, actually, because it's all abstract at the moment. You know, like, we haven't launched yet, and we're still like getting tests on the product, R&D, and maybe getting some questions and not questions, the feedbacks from customers. And I don't think it's going to be with a subscription. I don't know, because like, the subscription model used to work really good in the UK, but for the last year it's kind of decreasing at the moment. So we'll just figure that out. I don't know. I just can't answer that right now. Yeah, maybe in a few months, maybe I can. But for now, no. I'm sorry.
For sure. So when you're gonna launch, are you gonna run like meta ads? Like, how are you gonna really get the word out in terms of in front of your customers? Yeah.
Yeah, we have a good list of influencers at first, and they're like from Middle East and everything. And as I said, I have a good network of friends over there, so we'll have some kind of established community. And as I said, like, I'm going to get rid of the moving out. Sorry, I forgot the thing again. I just Meta, Amazon ads, and like Instagram ads, TikTok. So, and also we're going to hire people for the TikTok also over there. Perhaps a Middle Eastern also, but who is raised in the UK. So she or he is going to know the customer more than me, actually, too, because you know, just born and raised in Turkey, so I don't have English accents. So perhaps we're gonna need someone like that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's just a way of promoting it. You know, for example, like, my parents are from Belarus, but I was born and raised in America. So it's like, obviously I still have like the Belarusian or Russian, you know, interest, but it's different because I'm fairly Americanized. So it's kind of reaching that demo and finding out your customers. So obviously now, like, in terms of your launch, like, do you have like an approximate date? Like, when could people really expect to see the product live online, approximately?
Approximately. We are like planning to do the first manufacturing in the 1st of June, probably, because when you're not manufacturing yourself, you have some specific times to produce product production. So after that, perhaps we're going to need a amount because of the export and import situations. And I hope we'll be able to launch and expand starting from July. Yeah, July 2024.
So essentially that you're looking to raise money. Are you looking to manufacture in the UK or in Turkey? What does that look like?
For the first one, we're going to produce in Turkey. But the second, I don't know. I have some people over there in the UK who can actually manufacture again. But like, if I'm going to manufacture in Turkey, it's going to be cheaper, much cheaper, because the Turkey is like the home of everything about sauces. That's why it's cheaper to produce here. But in future, I don't know, because if I'm going to be big sauce or just pantry business in the UK, I know I gotta be manufacturing in the UK because they just love product of England.
Yeah, I mean, also it's like, I mean, I'm not sure, like, import taxes and things like that, might be it's like an extra expense. So
Also
what,
time, yeah.
yeah, time, it's like exactly, if you have a bunch of people that order, you can just produce and get it out very
Yeah,
easily. I
yeah.
mean, granted, Turkey's not that far from the UK, but still, it still makes a difference. So I guess in terms of right now, right, like, what would you say is the biggest challenge you're facing as you're about to launch this business?
Biggest challenge is going to sound some like political, probably, because London became some kind of money laundering area, and most of them like from Turkey, from Russia, so they kind of hard on us when it comes to bank issues. Like, it used to just took maybe 3 to 4 days to open a business bank account or something like that, and now it takes almost 6 months.
That's crazy. So obviously now in 2024, many companies are looking for the best use case for things like AI. So do you guys use AI? And if not, maybe where could AI come in and add value to your business?
For now, I am the R&D guy mostly. So maybe TasteWise or Spoonshot can help me to make some better products for the UK market specifically. But other than that, I'm just using daily for copywriting, for anything like for the website copy, for maybe ad copy, anything about writing, because I used to be a writer. Food writer, so I love just writing, and perhaps we'll be able to use for like anything about videos, images. But other than that, it can help us to reduce our cost, like when it comes to manufacturing the inventory and anything else. I have a friend actually; he has a startup based in the Germany. He has a It's called Fabricator, I think, and pr probably we're going to be working with them to. And it, to make like inventory better and AI enabled.
For sure. But have you thought about AI for, like, customer experience? Like, if somebody has a question, since you are sort of a category creator, that somebody has a question about the product, they can use like an AI chat to, like, say, like, hey, it has these ingredients, you can find it here, et cetera.
Do you know Haven's Kitchen?
Yeah, I've
Haven's,
heard of them.
yeah. They make a good case of it, this one. So I'm planning something like this. Probably I'm just gonna copy them.
So they have a good AI chat bot that they're using.
Especially when it comes to recipes or just maybe a basket builder, because the sauces are basically a basket builder for the retailers. So it can also help us to get better in retail and maybe make suggestions to retailers, because just say tahini dressing. I just created a tahini dressing. It's really good. So it pairs really well with cold noodles, salads, or anything about like seafood. So if I can just counter like what? Like cross writ shelf them, like maybe just top of the like frozen seafood aisle, something like this, or just salad aisle, or just maybe ready to eat. Something like this, or just noodle aisle, just over there. If I can do that, and AI can help me to just do that, I think. I couldn't really go sentence, I think, in here.
No, for sure. I mean, I think AI, it's like, obviously there's lots of use cases, but I definitely think that it's like, if you know, I mean, a customer's questions, or you can, you know, answer questions about ingredients, like, especially
that's right.
As you want to scale up, right? If you're going to sell in the US,
yeah.
if you have like a 24/7 support, it'll be easier to answer questions.
Yeah, especially just trying to learn ManyChat at the moment. So ManyChat can really be helpful about this, actually, especially on Instagram DMs. Yeah.
For sure.
You can just automate anything. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. So I guess what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
Maybe I can talk about the first business, like the hot sauce business. Yeah.
You were an entrepreneur. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't raise a lot of money. You know, I lost the control of the company. So I lost my business. That's it, I think. Yeah.
How much equity did you have when you were forced out?
When I left? I had only 15%, I think. Yeah. Because it was a unique situation, because there were anything like any hot, like it was zero, the household business in Turkey before I started, actually. But there were never a household business in Turkey, because culturally the Turkish food comes with sales, actually, because it's the way it's arranged, like, for hundreds of years. So in the pandemic, I had started, and there were lots of money in the table. Like, everyone just wanted to give money to startups. So just before, like, big leap, I raised $1 million. And that money actually stayed in the bank for a year almost. I couldn't do anything because we were sold out, you know, in the first year. I had to wait to spend the money for nothing.
Do you still have equity, or are they?
No, I had some debt with the equity, so I had to get rid of it. So, yeah.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, that's the thing, right? Entrepreneurship is all about learning and experiences. And I think, especially now, you learned a lot, and you started this new company, and then, like, you're launching it.
And the second one, don't try to build a big manufacturing area for the, like, made for the first few years, you know. It was just second year, and like, I had spent lots of money on just manufacturing. I could do anything with that money, actually, maybe, I don't know, but it cost me a lot, really.
Right, for sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Actually, as I said, it's really easy to be in retail in the UK if you have just some connection, which I have. So perhaps in a year, planning to hit at least millions of pounds, because it's actually like, the Coronador is not a real new company, actually. My co-founder was started Coronador as an Amazon brand like a few years ago, and it's actually already a six-figure business, like, for the last 4 years. So we have some our money, and we have some traction, and I have some good connection of angel investors. So it's going to be kind of easier than I thought this time.
For sure. And we're rooting for you guys. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact with you?
Yeah, my Instagram is Laywond, Laywond. I'm sorry. Just reach out via LinkedIn, you know. It's John Coinger, but it's Ken, actually. People call me Ken, actually, because it's Ken. Yeah, if you just reach out my LinkedIn, just ask anything you want, I will answer. And I have some good information about US market also. Just anyone want to reach, just reach out. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Of course. Thanks. All right. Bye.
See you later.